You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that usually talks about a variety of subjects in nerddom, but today it's pretty much just video games.
It's all video games. All video games all the time, baby.
It's E3 week.
Yeah.
And so we got all kinds of news and releases and stuff that we're going to talk about. I'm Cody.
Yeah, and I'm Sam. We are two of the three E's of E3.
Yeah, I'm electronics.
I'm the expo.
We have no entertainment.
We have no entertainment.
Sorry. That's not a good sign.
No. All right. So, hey, thank you all for tuning in. We have a great show for you. Yeah, like Cody said, a bunch of E3 news. We're going to talk a lot about video games. But first, let's do a really super quick check it out. And I will go ahead and jump into this. Last weekend, we were invited out once again to Indie PopCon out in Indianapolis, Indiana. It is the fifth year that they've run their pop culture convention. This is the third time we've been invited out. And it was a blast. Once again, they put on an excellent, excellent show. A lot of really good guests. Got to meet David Yost, Billy, the original Blue Ranger.
Nice.
He was very cool. Got to fist bump and talk to LeVar Burton. That was pretty great.
And that's like a lifetime dream come true situation.
Yeah, he was very cool. He was a very cool guy. Very busy. You know, he had a lot. He was one of the major headlining guests. Will Wheaton was there. Didn't want to stand in the line for Will Wheaton.
No.
His line was very long.
Why?
well, you know, it's Will Wheaton.
He's king nerd.
He is. But I got to stand within like 20 feet, I guess,
of Will Wheaton.
Yeah, some of the other guests that we didn't get a chance to see. Mantis from Guardians was there very briefly. A lot of Game of Thrones folks, a lot of YouTubers. I didn't recognize a ton of them, but they were there, and that's pretty great. And that's actually kind of cool that the con brings in like not just comic book people or big name celebrities.
Yeah, it's very forward thinking of them.
Yeah, it is. It is. And got to check out a bunch of booths, which was really cool. They really focus in on indie creators, indie companies and stuff like that.
Indianapolis.
Well, both actually. Both. Yeah, kind of both. But no, it was really cool. And this year, Jordan and I went out and we were in costume for the con. And, you know, I've gone to conventions in costume before, but this is the first time I've been in something that was easily recognizable.
Not obscure.
Not an obscure cartoon from like the early 90s. I usually go out as Captain N, the Game Master, the Nintendo licensed cartoon that was not very good from the early 90s. But no, this year dressed up as a Team Rocket Grunt, one of the bad guys from the Pokemon games. And it was a blast. Like within, I would say, 5 minutes of walking in, we had people asking us for pictures and stuff. And it was really cool. Actually, the first group of folks who wanted to get their picture with us was a couple of girls who dressed up as Team Skull Grunts from from the new Pokemon games. So that was really cool.
Did they dance menacingly at you?
Well, they did like this. They were doing the hand gestures a lot, which was really cool. but no, there were a ton of people in costume there. We have a full cosplay gallery up on the website and on our Instagram page. App, site, whatever. I don't know what you call an Instagram.
I think it's page.
Page?
I think it's Instagram page.
Gotcha. Okay.
I don't know. I don't use Instagram. So.
yeah. But no, got to meet a whole bunch of cosplayers, which was really great. Really wide variety of people in costume, from super recognizable like comic books and anime-ish stuff to things that, I mean, it looked neat. I couldn't, I was having a hard time picking some of those things out, but they looked really neat. If I had one slight criticism of the con, because, you know, we were invited out, I'm, again, making that really clear. But if I want to have one criticism, one, you know, totally honest thing, the panels this year were not saying that they were lacking, but they were just not as interesting as other cons that I've been to. Maybe that's because of the guests. Maybe that was because of the time constraints of the guests, but it was a lot of like pro gaming stuff.
Like esports.
A lot of esports stuff. They actually had a full League of Legends corner of the con that had like tournaments going on like a big screen and stuff, which I mean
like if that's your thing, yeah, that's your cool thing. But
they also had an entire booth dedicated to yo-yo tricks,
which
you know, a company buys their booth for the con, so they, it's open to anybody, but yo-yo tricks was not something I was expecting at a convention. Yeah. There was also one from like the Indiana Dairy Association, but they were giving away free ice cream.
Hey, yeah, and you can't beat that.
Yeah, and they changed out their workers at the booth frequently enough that we were able to go back multiple times for ice cream.
Nice.
And it was very good. Their salted caramel ice cream was like,
oh, that sounds notch. Good.
Oh yeah, it was great. Perfect amount, just a little tiny bit. This is a highlight of the con, is me talking about ice cream.
Free ice cream.
I swear there's more to it than that. But but no, it was a really, really great con. I'm really excited to go back out next year. I'm really appreciative of the people who put together Indie PopCon. It was really well organized. It was really clean, which, you know, again, is not something you normally think about, you know, when you think about cons.
Yeah.
But it is a concern sometimes.
Now, I looked at the pictures, mm-hmm. and the people look considerably happier to be there than they do at Wizard World.
Yeah, you know what? I not to dog on Wizard World too much, but yes, I will say that there is a considerable amount of joy had at Indie PopCon that is not usually present at a Wizard World, mostly because Wizard World's, they're good cons, but like they're all the same. Like you go to one Wizard World, you've been to them all, because they're down to the layout of the booths. They are the same convention. It's like walking into a Walmart or a Target. Once you walk in the doors, you know exactly where everything's at because they're all laid out exactly the same. Any PopCon, you know, they get different kind of guests.
And the Walmart comparison is more apt than.
Yeah. But no, it was a really great con. I'm really glad I got a chance to go out and got to check out a couple of spots around Indianapolis while we were out there, which was really cool. And can't wait for next year. Can't wait for more cons. I'm excited for cons. It's kind of a shame that con season is kind of wrapping up a little bit. But it was a really good time.
Not Origins, which is where Josh is.
That's where Josh is. That's going on this weekend. I'm sure he's going to have plenty of stories when he comes back next week for that. But no, that's really been it. It was a pretty big check it out. It kind of took up all of last weekend, which, I mean, hey, it was great. It was a good way to take up a weekend.
Yeah.
But I didn't really leave a ton of time for much else for the week. Have you checked anything out?
I played a little bit of the new Octo expansion that came out for Splatoon last night.
That just came out the other day. Yeah, yeah.
Only because I couldn't sleep last night and I had to do something.
Oh, hey. I mean, worst things to do.
Yeah, well, first I had to actually finish the regular thing. I hadn't finished the actual single player, the regular game.
Okay, so you actually have to beat
them. You don't have to,
okay,
but I wanted to.
Cool, okay.
And I was a lot closer to the end of it than I thought. It only took me, like, maybe 20 minutes.
Oh, right on.
But the Octo expansion is pretty cool. It's kind of just more of the same.
Yeah, I kind of figured, but
I mean, it reminds me a lot of Mario Galaxy 2, where it's just they were kind of like, hey, we got some more ideas still.
Sure.
So we might as well do something with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, you go through and do these like challenges along a subway map with all the different stops or the different challenges. And as you do them, you can go a little further down the line.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's set up differently than regular single player Splatoon.
Okay.
But other than that, it's not terribly different.
Yeah, but you know that carrot at the end of the stick of being able to play as an Octoling once you get through that campaign is probably enough to kind of, you know, make a lot of folks want to get through
it. And you can unlock special clothing stuff as you go through it too.
Oh really? Oh, right on. I picked up the DLC when it was on, when that first went on sale, so I just have it waiting for me to download basically. Is it, you know, I like a little bit of challenge, but is it easy enough for someone like me who is not super great?
No, it's actually kind of difficult.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, I might get through it and I might not. Awesome.
But I'm stuck on a mission right now where you have to dodge being shot at for 30 seconds.
Oh!
With no weapons or cover. You can't turn into octopus.
You're just running back and forth and try not to get hit.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right. Yeah. Huh.
But the levels are a lot of stuff like that, like weird challenges.
Okay. See, that's interesting, at least.
Yeah, there's one where you get to like have the jetpack the whole time, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. Because normally that's something you have to charge as a special move.
Right, right.
There's a couple of them where you have to push an 8-ball, like the pool ball, around the level by shooting at it to get it to a goal at the end.
I mean, that sounds really interesting. It sounds a little more creative than just, hey, run up and shoot the bad guys and get to the little thing at the end of the
level.
Go
through this linear, mm-hmm. weird stage. I didn't really care for the single player in Splatoon 2 all that
really?
Much. I didn't think it was as good as the first one.
You know, I'll agree with you on that. I played enough of the single player in Splatoon 1 and enough of this one to, I think I can see that.
I just think the level design was more on point in the first one than it is the second one. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the second one would get hard in a way that was more frustrating than challenging.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to me that Splatoon 1, they didn't know quite whether they wanted to focus on the multiplayer or single player, so they kind of had to kind of make them both good.
Yeah, they kind of hedged their bets.
Yeah, but with Splatoon 2, they're like, where they're putting all their baskets, all their fruit, all their baskets in the multiplayer fruit. That's the saying that I wanted to say. But
definitely.
Yeah.
Which is weird that this expansion is all single player. It really doesn't add anything.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
The story seems like it'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. A lot of Captain Cuttlefish, who was absent from the
that's cool.
Regular game.
Yeah, I like that character. He seemed pretty cool.
I'll have to spend more time with it, though. I mean, it definitely seems like it's worth $20.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah. Oh, sure, I mean, any kind of extra content. Like I said, you get the Octoling, like, hair, and like you said, you mentioned extra costumes and clothing and stuff, so that's really cool. Yeah, I think it's worth
it. Yeah, Nintendo always does a good job with their DLC. Mm-hmm. It's always hefty enough
do DLC often enough to be like, okay, well, if we think this is worth, you know, charging people extra, they're going to do it.
Which, like this, I thought the Zelda DLC was fantastic.
Oh, I think parts of the Zelda DLC is better than the main game. I enjoyed doing the, what was it called? The one where you got the motorcycle.
It wasn't
Champion's Ballad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like doing that a lot better than the just going to the four divine beasts and doing those main levels. I thought that like the boss at the end of the Champions Ballad.
I still need to finish that.
Dude, you gotta do that. That boss was pure joy. I really enjoyed that. So
speaking of which, the boss at the end of Splatoon, mm-hmm. just the regular Splatoon, was not as good in the second one as it is in the first one.
Really? Oh, that's
in the first one, it's like a ridiculous, like, challenge. It's really over the top, a lot of moving around and chasing and shooting, and this one was just seemed like a regular boss fight.
Huh. Well, that's a bummer. Oh, well. Can't all be winners, I suppose. Yeah. All right, well, hey, you know what? We have a lot of news to go through. Do you want to just go ahead and jump right into, like, some of this stuff?
We could. I can't really think of anything else I've done. I still haven't seen Solo, so
we can't talk about Solo. And I kind of want to make sure everybody, all four of us are here to talk about Solo, because I think there's going to be enough to have a really good discussion about that.
Yeah, I've mostly just been working on my game a lot lately, because I'm going to table it at the Game Developers Expo in Columbus.
Excellent. All right. Very cool.
So I've got to get it to a... I don't want to say playable state, because it is in a playable state, but better than it is.
Just kind of a certain amount of polish
to
it to start showing to people. Sure, I get that. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and talk about a little bit of this E3 news. We have a bunch of different developers that we could talk about. We're only going to hit the high notes on a lot of these, basically because,
only have so much time.
We only have so much time. A lot of it is, while I enjoy indie games, some of it's just not as, like...
There wasn't a whole lot of indie stuff,
there actually
really
wasn't. You're absolutely... That is true, yeah.
That's not what E3 is for,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Plus, I mean, this year, overall, I don't know, it seemed a little lackluster.
Yeah, I walked away feeling pretty disappointed by this E3 as a whole.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
Which hasn't happened in a while. Yeah, but this one was kind of a... It kind of sucked.
Yeah, well, it it's not that they didn't announce any good games. There's plenty of really good games on the list. It's just that, like, there was no, like, one big game, like, one big bombshell kind of thing.
Yeah, there was no surprises.
Right.
Really, at all. Like, there's no big, no Shenmue 3, you know?
Right. No Final Fantasy VII remake.
Like, literally no, they didn't say anything about it.
Yeah, it's almost like it doesn't exist. So yeah, you know what? Pick a developer. We'll start there.
You want to start with the smaller ones and move up to the main ones?
Yeah, let's do it.
I guess. So sure. We can start with Square Enix.
Yeah, let's do Square Enix first.
The Final Fantasy people that didn't have anything Final Fantasy related at all.
Well, yeah.
Well, kind of. Because they had Kingdom Hearts 3 was a major... But they didn't show any Final Fantasy characters
no.
in it.
No, not
it's
really.
It's all Disney.
Yeah.
It still doesn't make any sense. I don't know what's going on. But it looks cool.
It looks
really
cool.
Graphics are really good.
Yeah, I mean, Kingdom Hearts is basically kind of like, it's kind of Final Fantasy, but it's also Disney characters, which is always kind of a neat, I've always thought it was kind of a neat mashup, but the story makes no sense.
No, it's an indescrutable soup of anime weird. Like, I don't even know how to describe Kingdom Hearts. They're good games, though.
Oh, they're good. Yeah, they look like they're really good games. Listen, the storyline of Kingdom Hearts is so convoluted that there is an entire podcast that I listen to that is devoted to it that they talk about the storyline in 30-minute chunks, and they are on episode 41 right now, and only into Kingdom Hearts 2, which is the third game in the series.
Kingdom Hearts 2. Game 3.
Yeah, right.
The game where you think it's all a bunch of spinoffs, but they're not spinoffs.
They're not.
They're all part of the story.
Every one of them.
And not all those games are good.
Yeah, you can't go from Kingdom Hearts 1 to Kingdom Hearts 2 because half the cast just doesn't exist in Kingdom Hearts 1.
You got to go through, what is it, like Chain of Memories?
Chain of Memories.
You got to play that card one. That
weird card game.
And they're like alternate versions of the same characters going through memories of, it is a mess.
Yeah, the whole thing. And then there's that Japanese only iOS game that is integral to the plot of Kingdom Hearts that came out right before Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh wait, no, that's you can play that in America.
Oh, you can? Yeah, I thought it was a Japanese only.
No, it's, I forget what it's called, but there is a Kingdom Hearts iOS game and it came out in America.
And it has very heavy plot elements that are featured in Kingdom Hearts 3.
Hopefully they'll find a way to make it palatable.
Oh, man, I don't know.
Somebody who hasn't, you know, isn't as deeply invested as...
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have a lot of... It's been so long since the last Kingdom Hearts game that you're going to have people that are going to look at this game and go, hey, that's Donald and Mickey and some anime boy interacting with, you know... Woody from the Toy Story, and Frozen, and
Pirates of the Caribbean, unfortunately.
Yeah, hyper realistic looking. Yeah. Like, some of those 3D models looked like real people.
Which is what they were going for in Kingdom Hearts 2, but didn't achieve it because it was PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
But man, I don't care for that franchise anymore.
Yeah.
It's completely lost its luster for me, and I can't stand Johnny Depp anymore. And I'm really disappointed that they are apparently spending a lot of time there in Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, they spend a lot of time there, from the way it sounds. Yeah. Okay, well, hey, moving on to other Square Enix games.
They had a new Tomb Raider.
New Tomb Raider, sure.
It looked like Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
At least new Tomb Raider.
Yeah, there was nothing really innovative with that, I guess.
It's kind of a running theme of this E3 is women sneaking around and murdering people with knives and bows.
We're going to see that a lot.
Yeah.
We're going to see that quite a bit.
I mean, it looked good. I'll probably play it. I really liked the last one.
Mm-hmm.
The first reboot one I was kind of like lukewarm on, but the second one's really good.
Yeah.
So hopefully this one will be more like that one.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, what's the next one on the list?
The Quiet Man, they really didn't say a whole lot of. It looks like...
Yeah, no kidding. They were pretty quiet about
it,
huh?
It looks like it might star like a deaf main character, which is interesting.
Cool. Yeah.
Don't really know anything else about it. I probably shouldn't have put it down there.
Oh, well, hey. It's a game that was announced.
Yeah. And they showed some Dragon Quest, and they put a date on it.
Sure does look like a Dragon Quest.
September something, which is fine. I love Dragon Quest.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited for it.
That Toriyama-ish art style is really cool. I kind of like it.
Yeah. I'm super stoked for it. Mm-hmm. It sucks it's not coming out on 3DS anymore.
Yeah. But hey, Switch port maybe. Who knows?
Someday.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Probably is 6 months down the road, just like every other game that the Switch
They don't even
has.
Know in Japan when it's going to come out on the Switch. So who knows when we'll get it. Maybe never.
Eventually.
Now we will, but the only reason we'll get it is because Nintendo will publish it.
Okay, let's see. Let's pick one more really small developer. You know what? Let's do Ubisoft real quick because there's not a ton there, and then we'll take a break. So there's an Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It's the next Assassin's Creed.
It's weird to see these assassins flying around in this hat-shaped spaceship.
Yeah.
No, it's not Mario Odyssey.
No, that'd be pretty great though, right?
It's Greek this time.
Yeah, that's basically Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
It's Greek this time. You can be a lady now because they learned their lesson.
Yeah, pretty much.
They also showed the Division 2, which the first one was okay, so maybe this one is good. I don't know. Something about the ideology behind the Division and the storyline rubs me the wrong way, so I can't get into it.
I didn't watch this press conference, so I don't know if I have a ton to add to this one, unfortunately.
The Division is that game where the government activates a bunch of sleeper agents that are just regular people, but now because there's this big disaster because of a disease that broke out on Black Friday. Mm-hmm. Now you can walk down the street in New York and shoot people for looting.
Great.
Yeah, it's really it kind of squicks me out a little bit.
I could see that.
And
yeah.
It's like the game is all right. I rented it and enjoyed it for a little bit, but I just can't get past the kind of weird fantasy it's peddling.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. It doesn't sound like my kind of game.
Yeah,
honestly,
Yeah, like this isn't my idea of what fun is.
Yeah,
this is not a world I wish to inhabit in my leisure time.
The other one was Beyond Good and Evil 2. Was this the one where they had that CGI trailer last year? Where they're like
there's like a swearing monkey,
on a hover bike. And he might be dating that woman.
Yeah, it's that one.
It's that one. Okay, because that trailer last year looked pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, this will probably be pretty cool. The first one was really good. Mm-hmm. It looks a lot different than the first one. They're going kind of a different direction with it.
Yeah, that's cool.
But it'll be worth checking out. Wasn't a surprise since they had it last year.
Yeah.
You know what is surprising is that they're releasing a new Just Dance game for the original Wii.
Seriously?
Yeah.
For the original Wii.
Yeah, not the Wii U. There's a new Wii game coming out in 2018.
Why?
I guess they assume people will buy it. It's for the grandmas and soccer moms that bought a Wii and didn't go anywhere from there.
I mean, all right. I just
thought it was weird and worth noting that someone is still making a Wii game.
That is weird. Whew, yeah, that's, huh.
Let's move on to Bethesda.
Well, actually, let's go ahead and take a break first,
and then we'll come back with Bethesda.
And come back with some Bethesda and a little bit more E3 news. So stick around. Hey, we're back. That was Take Me Home, Country Road by Me First and the Gimme Gimmies. It's a great cover.
Yeah. I like them. I like Me First.
Yeah, I like them too. So why do we play that?
Because it's featured prominently in the trailer for the new Fallout game that got announced.
Yeah, yeah.
Fallout 76, which is Fallout, but in West Virginia and online only.
Yeah, that was the part that kind of threw me a little bit, that it's online only.
I'm leery of it because of the online only part. They said there's no NPCs except for robots.
Yeah.
I mean, which makes sense from a lore standpoint because it takes place, it's the earliest Fallout time-wise in the canon. It takes place like right after the all clear from the nuclear war.
Yeah.
So there isn't a lot of people around, although there should be ghouls.
There should be, yeah.
Which are the irradiated people.
The only thing that I'm really concerned about this is I know Fallout is massively popular and they're going to initially have a ton of a huge player base, but this game is not going to be as evergreen as some of the other Fallout games, I don't think. Like, as once that player base drops off and you get like one, you know, NPC or one other player every once in a while, what are you going to do in the game?
Well, Bethesda games, Bethesda software games, not the publisher, but their actual studio, mm-hmm. they have a long shelf life.
That's true. That is true. People are still playing Skyrim. People are still playing Morrowind. Even.
Yeah.
You gotta make a good point.
People will probably always be playing, unless it really sinks, which might be.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like the kind of things I go to a Fallout game for. Like,
right.
That like weird post-apocalypse story that's half dark comedy, half good story. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
That's not going to be there. The role-playing-ness of it is not really going to be there besides what you can make up with your friends who you're playing it with, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't really like see Griffin and Justin McElroy doing a successful Monster Factory set in Fallout 76.
Yeah, you're not going to see the Final Pam.
Yeah, Final Pam's not going to make a return in this.
Some aspects of it are really cool, though. I like that it's West Virginia. That's a cool and interesting place to set a game. Mm-hmm. I like the focus on these weird radiation monsters that they have, especially Mothman, who I'm a fan of.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I'd also like to make a point that Mothman was in my game first.
True, yeah.
Todd.
Yeah, yeah, Todd. But hey, how about that map? Glows in the dark.
Glows in the effing dark.
Yes.
As
yes.
they said. The special edition does look really cool. It has the power armor helmet.
Yeah, that does look pretty cool.
But it's like $200 and it already sold out, so you can't get it anyway.
Good luck.
It's like part of me is excited because I love Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my more favorite franchises. But this is a weird direction to take it in.
It kind of is, yeah. Beyond Fallout 76, they announced that Fallout Shelter is on the Switch, like, right now.
I still have not played it, even when it came out on the phone. I'm tired of those kind of games.
I agree, yep. They gave us a logo for Starfield, which is their space game. It's the first original IP they've had in, like, 20 years.
Yeah, it looks like they went, hey, EA is not going to do Mass Effect anymore. They really messed that one up. So we're going to make one for you.
Yeah.
They announced the new Elder Scrolls 6.
They shouldn't have done that. I don't know.
They were in a position where they had to, because they also announced an Elder Scrolls phone game, I think looks very, very cool. And I'll be excited to play it because I don't have this weird hang up about phone games that some people do.
Oh, sure. I'll try it for 5 minutes and then get bored with it.
Now, it looks like a fully featured like Elder Scrolls game that you play on your phone.
Sure, but it's a phone game, so I'll play it for 5 minutes and get bored with it, because that's how, with exception of Pokemon Go, that's how I usually am with phone games, no matter how good they are, unfortunately.
I usually burn hot on one for like a week and then never go back to it again, with the exception of Pokemon Go, and also I'm still playing Shadowgun Legends.
Oh, yeah.
I've invested too much into it now. I can't stop.
Yeah. It's not on the list, but it's another smaller developer. There was some From Software stuff, wasn't there?
Yeah. They're the Dark Souls people. Yeah. They had a ninja game that I forget the title of.
Oh, the one where the guy has the bone arm and he has like the grappling hook like wire within the bone arm. It looks so good. I wish I could remember the name of it.
Yeah, but I don't like the Souls games, and if it's anything like those, I'm not going to like it.
So. Oh, yeah, no, I won't play it. It looks great, but I won't play it. Did From Software have anything else?
They had a VR game for PlayStation VR.
Oh, yeah, right.
But the trailer didn't really explain what it was.
Yeah.
It didn't look like a Souls game.
Yeah, well, that's good at least, yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to some of the bigger ones. Actually, take that back. This is another really small developer. This is almost just a minor blip in the on the radar, but I think their press release.
Oh, they're a publisher.
No, they're a publisher. I think their thing was probably the best of E3, and that's Devolver.
Yeah, Devolver Digital's big fancy press conference.
Oh man, it was 18 minutes long, and it was the best thing I saw all week.
Yeah,
it was the best.
It's just a hilarious send up of this whole event and of these dumb conferences.
Yeah,
and
with their fictional spokeswoman Nina Struthers.
Yeah. Which they've built up an entire mythology at this point of their fake.
Oh yeah. Well, for the second year in a row, Nina died at the end of the press conference. Yeah. for the second year in a row, their game tester on stage also died.
Yeah.
They were in the Dave Lang Memorial theater where his ghost showed up for a second. That was pretty great. Yeah. I mean, they only had three games to announce, and one of them is a HD up-res remake of a game from 2004.
By From Software.
By From Software. But
Metal Wolf Chaos
looks so great. Which
is about the president of the United States driving a mech to save the day.
Yes, it's the president of the United States who drives a giant robot to save the world from his evil vice president, who also drives a giant robot. That is the plot of the game, and it is the best.
Oh. And all that the voice acting in it, that is also the Japanese voice acting.
Yes.
There's not two different versions. It's just all in English.
It's all in English, yeah.
And over the top.
How the first... I watched a Let's Play of the game, the original version of the game, a little while back, and like the first line of the game was the first line of that trailer. It's the president yelling, "Let's party!" while driving around in a giant fighting robot. It's the best!
Yes, I've known of Metal Wolf. It was an original Xbox game that only came out in Japan, and I've always wanted to play it, and now I'm going to be able to. Thanks, Devolver Digital.
Yeah. They also announced some arena kind of thing, survival game.
Oh, yeah. It looked kind of neat. It looked kind of neat. What it was.
Yeah. It looked really over the top and kind of neat. And then my friend Pedro.
That looks cool.
It looks like Deadpool.
Yeah. Like the action scenes of Deadpool. It looks like it reminds me of Hotline Miami.
Yeah,
but a platformer.
Yeah, and like players' movements look like almost like ballet movements, but he's also shooting guns and doing flips. And when you shoot someone, it goes immediately into like slow mo, so you can do even cooler flips and stuff. It just looks like cutscenes from the Deadpool movie. Yeah, basically.
It looks like it's Hotline Miami mixed with Super Hot. Kinda.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. They also announced the loot box coin, which have you been following that any?
Yes, it's a fake. It's not really a cryptocurrency.
It's not.
Because it's a thing.
It's just a thing.
It's just a coin you can buy for a fluctuating price on their website.
Yep, and it fluctuated just about every hour for the last couple of days. Got up to $250 at one point.
Jeez.
And I checked it before we started recording. Sold out.
Wow, that's dumb.
A bunch of dumb people spent way more money on a hunk of plastic that they probably 3D printed and are mailing out eventually. But the best part about their press release or their pre-recorded press release, whatever, was that by being super satirical, they were able to be like 100% truthful in what they were saying. Spokeswoman.
It was great satire.
Oh, it was great. She was like basically just saying, "Listen, these games are gonna make us great numbers. You're gonna eat it up. Yeah. It's gonna make us a ton of money. We don't care about anything else." Let's face it, these are all just big flashy commercials that we're doing. So let's roll the garbage, show you the commercials, and let's get this over with. It was great. So good.
E3 has needed something like it since it existed.
Yeah. And it ended on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Like, it ended with a to be continued.
For next year.
I can't believe it. It's so good. All right. So let's go ahead and get into the big three. We're talking about Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo. I think we should leave Nintendo for last because we are kind of Nintendo marks and, you know, I mean,
let's start with Microsoft because I'm the least invested in it, but oddly thought their press conference was better than the other two.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I don't have an Xbox One.
Yeah.
And I don't like, I kind of want one, but I probably won't ever get one.
Oh yeah. I don't. Yeah. I don't see myself ever getting an Xbox. So I don't really have a dog in the, in this hunt, but
I mean, they announced some good stuff though.
Yeah.
Good.
Like another Halo's coming back. That's cool.
Yeah, it's called Halo Infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds like some kind of Halo as a service thing. I don't know if that's what it is.
I hope not, but
that's my professional analyst, opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
They announced a Gears of War, three Gears of War games, actually. A phone game featuring Gears of War Funko Pops, which sounds like about the worst thing I've ever heard of.
But I'm the most, honestly, I'm kind of the most invested in that of any of them, because I was never a big Gears of War fan. I played the first one a little bit years ago.
That's the same as me. I played and thoroughly enjoyed the first Gears of War.
It was fine.
I really liked it. I never felt like I needed to play any of the other ones.
Yeah.
The first one was enough.
It was enough. I mean, it's a third-person shooter.
I played all the way through it. I mean, I liked it enough to beat the game, but...
Yeah, I mean, you have a gruff protagonist with a gun that also is a chainsaw. I mean, it's set in space.
It kind of invented the cover shooter,
yeah,
at least as we know it today.
Yeah.
So it's an important game, but I don't know, just don't really care.
Right, yeah. So yeah, in the same way.
That sounds too harsh. But I mean...
Well, I'll be harsh. I don't... Yeah. Yeah. But at least with the Funko phone game...
You don't know what you're going to get.
You don't know what you're going to get, and it's probably going to be free to start, so if you try it and it sucks, just...
You can at least laugh at it like Garfield Go.
Okay, exactly.
The other Gears game was a tactics game that's like XCOM or Mario and Rabbids, which actually is a really good fit for the franchise, I think.
It kind of is.
With
the
cover shooter, you know, the chest-high walls, hiding behind him, moving guys around. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to play it because I don't like those kind of games. It's not my thing, but I think it's a good idea. I think people will like it.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
We didn't write this down, but they announced a new Forza.
Yeah.
Forza 4.
Oh boy.
Which I can't wait till Forza 5's a.
Now, are they going to name this one like the number 4 and then ZA at the end?
No, they should have. Yeah. But it's called Forza Horizon 4.
Yeah, it sounds lame.
I never played Onesa or Twosa or Threesa either.
It's a good joke. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I can keep going.
You can keep going. I have no doubt.
They bought a bunch of studios, Microsoft did, which is good because they don't really have any first-party games at all.
Yeah, not really.
So it was smart of them to show that we're working on it, I guess. It would have been nice if they had games from these studios they bought, but they didn't really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're going with the whole, if you can't beat them, buy them kind of strategy.
Which is very Microsoft.
Yeah, it is very Microsoft. That's very true.
But they're trying, which is good. I mean...
Give them points for that, sure.
Because they do need exclusives. That's one of the main reasons I haven't bothered to buy an Xbox. I don't have a good reason to.
Yeah, there's no... Exactly.
There's two games I'd want to play on it, and it's Sea of Thieves and Rare Replay, which is a bunch of old games. Yeah. They announced... Speaking of old games, they announced... Old Rare games.
Mm-hmm.
They announced the new Battletoads, which is very exciting for me personally.
Yeah.
I love Battletoads.
You know, I knew this was coming sooner or later because of... Was it Rash in...
Killer Instinct.
Yeah. His inclusion in that game was so overwhelmingly positive that I knew this was coming up
People
sooner
love
or later.
Battletoads. Oh, even though it turned into a meme.
Yeah, kind of.
I wonder if it'll be as ball-bustingly hard as the original one was.
I hope so.
Yeah. It's apparently a 2.5D game, so it'll be animated sprites on a 3D background.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine still a beat-em-up. It sounds good.
Yeah. I mean, sure, great.
I hope it gets a PC release so I can play it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's Microsoft, so I'm sure it will. Okay, let's jump over to Sony. Sony had a bunch of little things, but they had four main
Yeah, and their conference was weird and
it was
bad.
So weird. Yeah, like after the last couple of years where they kind of were the best parts of E3 the last couple of years, this one was weird. Like it started off in like a weird like
barn church thing, which was what was in The Last of Us.
Sure.
Which is the trailer they showed while they were in the barn tent thing.
Yeah, but in retrospect, it made sense. But at the time, like when the press conference just started, it was like,
yeah, why?
What is going on?
What are they doing? Like,
yeah. And like the, I don't know what his role in Sony is, but he,
I forget that guy. Yeah.
That older gentleman came out on stage and it was clear he was just kind of riffing. And it was rambly and like incoherent. And like I had the subtitles on at one point because I could not understand like what point he was driving at.
That and the sound was kind of bad in that church tent.
Yeah, it was a weird setup.
A man came out and played at dour banjo music for 10 minutes.
There was a lot of music. Like, yeah. A lot of weird music played during that press conference.
Yeah, really get the crowd amped up for your video game commercials with the dour banjo music for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they played the trailer for Last of Us 2.
Which looked great.
Which looks good.
Looks really good.
It looks like Last of Us. It's another game where a woman's sneaking around murdering people.
Yeah, but this time there's no clickers. At least they didn't see.
But yeah, I didn't see any fungus zombies.
Yeah, no, it was just like weird cult member things.
Or just like, yeah, lawless raiders.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, I don't know.
I'm sure there's got to be some kind of supernatural.
So many of their games were so violent. I sound like an old lady. But so many of their games were so violent. It's just like, yep, there's a horrible murder. Like,
yeah. One thing I will say about that, like I'm also not into like the horrible murder parts of the game. But I saw in the trailer when Ellie did do a murder, like, the wherever the impact point on like the NPC's the enemy's body got hit, it stayed in that spot. There wasn't like a generic like there was a point where she shot a gun through someone's cheek and there was a hole on the person's cheek when it dropped. So I guess that's going to be like the innovative thing is like real time like adaptive murder death. Which and is like, not my thing, but
when
it's
the
someone's
audience
thing.
Like cheers for somebody getting knifed in the neck, like I'm like, this is weird.
This is weird.
I don't like this.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I'll play these games. Like I like these games, but it's just so weird to be like,
yeah,
everybody come look at these murders. Woo!
Yeah.
Like it's weird to celebrate this violence in this way.
Yeah, it is kind of
like marketing violence is mm-hmm. weird.
Yeah, I agree with you. But no, they got through that trailer and then they made everyone in the conference get up and move to another building to finish their press conference.
Which took a solid 20 minutes.
Oh yeah, it was
so
boring.
Yeah, if you're watching at home, you got some talking head people from Sony jabbering about crap.
Jabbering about nothing and then playing like basically like pre-movie theater like commercials. And I'm not talking about like trailers. I'm talking about those commercials where they're like trying to sell you Coke and stuff. Like that level of quality of all of their smaller games.
Yeah.
That was weird. Actually, the stream that I was watching it had some other commentators and they every time they cut to the E3 people, they would pot up some EDM music and it just looked like the talking heads from Sony were just kind of bobbing along to this to this weird EDM music. it was kind of funny.
The stream I was listening to, the guy when the banjo guy came mm-hmm. out, he queued up the opening music from Banjo-Kazooie.
Nice.
Like right on time and it was hilarious.
That's perfect.
But yeah, it seems like this whole Sony's whole conference was designed for the people who are actually there. And if you're watching at home, well, sorry.
Yeah.
It's going to be boring.
Right.
Because they had whole walkthrough areas of stuff from the games they were showing. They had like a walkthrough New York, like Spider-Man New York.
Oh, yeah. And that would be cool if you're there. But
yeah,
like,
but we weren't.
Yeah, right. Speaking of which, let's burn through these last couple because I really want to get to Nintendo. So speaking of weird music before a trailer, they play. They have a new game. It's a new IP called Ghosts of Tsushima. Ghosts of Tsushima. It's like a kind of a Ronin kind of samurai.
It looks really awesome. Really, like, I'm really stoked for this.
Really good. But prior to that, they had some white guy in a rice hat playing some weird flute for like what felt like a million 10, years,
20 minutes. Yeah.
That was a choice.
Yeah. And then, well, between everything, they had these weird interstitials with like fruits playing instruments.
Yeah.
That was actually from Dreams, that Media Molecule game maker, movie maker software that's coming out for PlayStation 4. But they didn't explain that to anyone.
Yeah, that made no sense to me.
Yeah, they didn't show that game or explain that those interstitials were made with that game.
Yeah.
And that's like one of the most interesting, innovative things they have, and they didn't show it or explain it at all, which is really stupid.
Very weird. But no, the Ghost of Tsushima looks really good. They moved on to an extended playthrough of what I'm guessing is like the intro to the new Spider-Man game.
Which still looks great.
Looks good.
Looks like probably the best Spider-Man game we'll ever get. Mm-hmm. Like,
you know what? I really like the costume design on Spider-Man. For some reason, I think the white spider on the suit and really breaks up the red and blue a lot better than just the straight up black Spider-Man suit. It looks just different enough to be unique, and I really like it. And I really like the voice actor they picked for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Is it Yuri Lowenthal, I think is the guy's name?
That's a voice actor, yeah, so it's possible.
I think that's who they have playing Spider-Man in that. He does a great job with it.
Yeah.
Finally, they played a trailer for Hideo Kojima's Death Stranding, game that I still don't think it's ever going to exist.
And it still doesn't make sense. And we saw actual gameplay and I still don't know what it is.
Yeah, I am more confused about this game now that we've actually seen what you're doing in the game.
Yeah, it looks like Norman Reedus is some sort of delivery man.
He just has varying degrees of space backpack.
Yeah.
And he's sometimes walking, hover
robot.
Yeah, and he's walking across like various landscapes, including what looks to be
Fossil Falls from Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, and also some cliffs from Breath of the Wild.
It kind of looks like Breath of the Wild, from the way
he was like climbing and stuff. Yeah, and then all of a sudden there were some invisible enemies.
Yeah,
he had to use his baby backpack, which is a thing in the game, to spot. Like, did you see that mechanic where he plugged in? This is going to sound weird.
The baby drops into the little the little sack.
This is going to sound like a fever dream, but yes, there is a glowing baby sack that has a baby inside it that he plugs into his suit, where a light pops up, and that's how you see
like a weird strobe light that flaps
that you see like the enemies.
Yeah, and it points at where the invisible monsters are. Yeah, I guess.
I don't.
And there was a lady now, and she ate a bug.
Yeah, she ate a bug. That's the thing that happens.
And she has a really cool designed umbrella and jacket.
Sure, yeah. But, like,
it still doesn't make sense.
Man, I don't know.
Did he need this much creative freedom?
I'm worried about Death Stranding, honestly.
I feel like when Sony saw that there was actual gameplay, they were like, oh, thank God, he is making a game.
And then they saw the gameplay and went, wait, what?
Well, yeah, what is it, though?
Wait, yeah, is it...
Hey, I'll give him points. You weren't shooting a gun.
It's true. He held a gun at one point.
Oh, did he?
He did.
Oh, I forgot.
But, yeah. And I guess there's, like, also hand-to-hand combat in this at some point.
But with what? Who knows?
Yeah, with what and who?
And Mads Mikkelsen and Guillermo del Toro weren't in this one.
Right, yeah. So it'll probably be another year before we see any... Well, no, yeah. It's going to be the Sony experience before we see another...
That's true. Maybe they'll have it playable there. If the
game's never going to be playable.
I'll have to give Sony points. They didn't make us watch that freaking biker zombie game for the third year in a row.
Oh, no. Well, they knew that it looked too close to Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, we need to promote one of these two games. And guess what? Last of Us is the better game. Okay, so we have like 3 minutes.
Oh, no.
To talk about Nintendo. So,
well, luckily there wasn't a whole lot.
Yeah, luckily there wasn't a ton. They had that trailer for, I think it's called Ex Machina.
No, it wasn't Ex Machina. That's a movie.
Oh, yeah.
It was, Daemon Ex Machina.
Daemon Ex Machina, that's what it is.
Which is like a cool-looking robot, giant robot game.
Yeah.
I thought 100% it was a Platinum game when I first
thought
it
was Armored Core. Uh-huh. Like, so hard, I thought it was an Armored Core game.
It looks really cool, though. The graphics are really neat. A really stylized-looking robot game.
Yeah. Let's see, there was Xenoblade Chronicles or Xenoblade Saga 2.
DLC.
Is it DLC? I thought it was a second.
It's DLC, but it's also a standalone thing you can buy.
Oh, okay. Right on.
But it looked like just more of that. Mm-hmm. More of that game, which, I mean, sure.
Yeah. They highlighted Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee a little more, although not as much. Still looks great.
Yeah, they played it a little bit on the Treehouse stream afterwards.
Oh, really? I didn't catch any of the Treehouse stuff.
It looks very good. It has actual battles, if you're worried about that.
Oh,
it has
good.
Real, legit Pokemon battles.
Oh, that's excellent.
It's just you fight just the trainers.
Oh, okay.
They cut out the wild battle. The wild battles are just catching.
Okay.
Which I think is fine.
That's fine, sure.
The wild random battles get tedious after a while. Mm-hmm. Like, why not break it up with something quicker and simpler?
Yep, I agree. Let's see. What were some of the other ones? I know we're saving Smash for last.
There was Super Mario Party.
Yeah, that looks good.
Back to the board game.
Good.
No More Car, which is good. Mm-hmm. It looks very good. It does some interesting stuff with linking two Switches together.
Yeah, that looks pretty interesting.
I hope it has online.
Yeah.
I don't think
nice.
It will.
Well,
I highly doubt that it will, but I hope it does.
No, that would be fun. An online mode would be cool. It actually make me kind of want to get the game because otherwise
you play it, you know, like once a month.
Otherwise, you know, next time we have a game night, you'll bring it over to the house.
Yeah.
We'll play
last Mario Party.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which was much maligned, but I thought it was fun.
Well, I thought it was all right. Sure.
But yeah, I'll be excited to play a new Mario Party, but it's not really it wasn't a brain melter. Like, I wasn't super excited.
Yeah.
And that was the running theme. They didn't have anything surprising.
Yeah.
I was hoping to at least get one game that I didn't already know about that would be a big surprise.
Yeah.
And I'm not even picky on what. Just, like, anything would have been.
Just something.
I mean, I kind of would like a new 2D Mario that looks like they put some effort into it.
Yeah.
That'd be the thing I'd want for Nintendo.
That would be nice.
But no, we didn't get that.
Yeah.
We got Smash Brothers.
We got a bunch of Smash Brothers.
We can talk about now.
We
got
to talk about Smash Brothers real quick, and that's kind of going to be it. No, Smash was they're really the big one. That's actually what they have playable at their booth. But no, it's Smash Brothers, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
And everybody's there.
Everybody's in. Yes, every character that's ever been in a Smash Brothers game is back in.
Even Snake,
which is cool. A lot of clones. Like, I don't know if anyone was clamoring for Pichu. Or, I mean, Ice Climbers was a neat concept, but I don't think anyone was like, oh man, I got to get back my Ice Climber.
I'm glad
main.
They're back. Yeah. I mostly just like that they're a weird NES pull.
Yeah, that's true. Along those same lines, I'm actually kind of excited that Wolf is back from Star Fox.
He looks so cool.
He looks cool. It looks like they tweaked his moveset just enough to make him a unique character, which is really cool.
Yeah, Wolf's. I never realized how strong Wolf's Star Fox Zero design
was. Oh, yeah, it's a really good design. But yeah, they also announced a little bit of gameplay of the Inkling characters, which looks pretty solid.
Yeah, that's about how you would expect them.
Yeah,
to
that 8-player mode on the Splatoon map with all 8 Splatoon players just looks like Splatoon the fighting game, basically. And it looks great. I'm in on that. They announced Daisy.
Yeah.
Daisy's which, pretty cool.
Okay.
I like how they're denoting the obvious clone characters. They're called Echo Fighters now. I mean, I wish they were costume swaps instead of taking up a character spot. I would much rather have like a character spot used up by a new character. But we also are getting Ridley from
which is awesome. Yeah,
Metroid.
From Metroid, the big space dragon guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Turns out he's not too big.
No. Well, he's huge, but he's hunched over.
Yeah, which he usually is in the game anyway. And the trailer they had for him was cool.
It was really cool. Well, okay. So who's the next DLC do you think you'd want to see in Ultimate after Ridley? Because, you know, they're going to do more DLC of characters.
I want an arms guy in there.
Yeah?
I'm surprised they didn't announce an ARMS guy. I think it'll be criminal if there's nobody from ARMS.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
In Smash Brothers. But,
people didn't really like... It didn't go over quite as well as they were hoping, I don't think.
Yeah. But people still liked it. It still sold pretty good.
That's true.
I mean, mostly just sold because it was a game on the Switch.
Yeah. That's true. I'm honestly... I mean, I would love to see, like, obscure poll. Like, God, I can't even... Well, I used to say Bomberman, but now he's an assist trophy, so you can't do
and that
Bomberman.
That kind of stinks.
That kind of stinks.
He would have made a good full character.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I can't think of an obscure character that I would pull, but I know it's probably going to be... There's a pretty good chance it's going to be another Sonic character, because there's only one of them, and Sonic has a pretty good size cast of characters.
It'll be Big the Cat. No.
One can only hope.
They could. I wouldn't be upset if they pulled another Sonic character.
I'd be okay with Knuckles.
Yeah.
Because they usually, whenever they do like a semi, like a not full-on clone character, but like a semi-clone character, they usually like to pull a heavy character with a similar moveset, like a Ganondorf with a
But he's Falcon. Knuckles is an assist trophy, I heard.
Oh, he is. Oh, interesting. Okay. Well.
It'll be either Shadow or Silver.
Oh, God.
Because then they can just recolor Sonic.
Yeah. You know what? I would be okay with Silver, I guess.
He's got psychic moves.
Yeah,
that's at least
it's
interesting.
Different enough, sure. He'd play a little more like Mewtwo than he would a Sonic.
Yeah.
But that's that's fine. Okay, so Mach
Rider.
That would be cool.
And have Mach Rider be a woman like she is in the arcade game.
Yeah, there you go.
There's always Golden Sun, but I think there's enough anime boys and
girls.
Yeah,
enough anime boys and girls with swords, sure. I wish we could see Simon Belmont.
Yeah, which they brought Snake back, so they already talked to Konami.
But like,
and they put Bomberman, that's the Konami now, too.
Yeah, so I'm saying it could happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I would be surprised, but I wouldn't be... It seems possible, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I agree. But, like, yeah, no, Simon Belmont would probably be my choice.
Shovel Knight would be cool.
Shovel Knight would be really cool. That's actually pretty likely, I think, because...
Yacht Club.
They're usually pretty good about, like, licensing out Shovel Knight to different games.
And they're good. They're buddy with Nintendo. They're one of the few, if... Maybe only third-party amiibos that exist.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of amiibos, all of the classic Smash Brothers amiibos work with the new Smash Brothers, and they're...
I'm sure you read the humongous sigh of relief.
Oh,
when
my
they
God.
Said that.
Yeah. And what relieved me more than anything was them saying that they're not going to create a bunch of like player two modes of the Smash Brothers thing. It's like, okay. Because a lot of the DLC characters had like two different versions that you would have to buy.
Yeah.
I was really sweating them saying, okay, here's second pose Mario and second pose Peach and all those others.
They did show a Ridley amiibo.
Yeah. They are doing a Ridley, Daisy and Inkling girl, with a special pose for the Smash base. And that's really cool. But yeah. Oh, and there's a Squidling. Boy, girl, and Squid for Splatoon 2 that's coming out sometime this year.
Amiibo. They're Octoling.
Octoling. Yeah. That's what
There's
I meant.
There's Octoling amiibos.
Yeah, that's what I meant. All right, anyway, you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at Nerd Overload. And hey, while you're doing that, why don't you go over to our Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch accounts, all under the name Nerd Overload Now.
Like and subscribe to all of those. Dude.
That would be very helpful and good.
Yeah.
And Instagram. We have a bunch of pictures on there. Instagram, too.
Yeah. If you want to see pictures from the con, that's a good place to see them.
Yeah.
You can. What is the thing that Josh does?
I just did the thing that Josh does.
Sam does. When she's here, Samantha says that you should send us an email at staff@nerdoverload.com with questions, comments, what you liked about
E3.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us know.
Sure.
And the thing I say is that you should subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV, where you can listen to the show there, and sometimes we might put other stuff there, too.
That's right. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify.
Gregor.zone.
Gregor.zone, yeah, that hot new website. Yeah, pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find our podcast. You know what? Tell your friends. Word of mouth is the best way for folks to find our show.
leave a review on iTunes.
Yeah, sure. Why not? That would help as well. Anyway, thank you again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.